where the Spirit of the Lord is in operation, there are no limitations. Where the Spirit of the Lord is in operation, all right, no confinement. Once the Spirit of the Lord is in operation, the perfect law of liberty is there. All right, the whole of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, that they might be caught up into their glorious liberty. Boundaries start getting broken down, right, that they might enter into it, that they might see a person accomplish things in 3 years that they felt will take 45 years. And by that person breaking into that, they get caught up into that glorious liberty. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there are no limitations, right, no boundaries. It now tells us how that operates. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed. Which means this change only starts when we start beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Which means the Spirit of God that is in us can only begin to make the relevant changes. I want to see this. Regardless of what you are declaring, He begins to make the changes, which means if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, is when you sit down and you are beholding the evidence that tells you that that mountain must leave, that the Spirit of God can now make the changes to remove that mountain there from your environment. We are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. Which means the way the Spirit of God can begin to work, that Jesus said greater works, the way He can do it is by us sitting down and with an open face. In other words, He told us about Moses, that when Moses came down the mountain, he didn't even know. He looked at Jesus, came down, and he was radiating. And he didn't even know that his face was shining. Which means that Moses wasn't even conscious about the transformation that had occurred. We also, when we go and we behold Jesus, and he said Moses' own was inferior. He said now we can behold him with an open face. If we start looking at Jesus, he says the Spirit of God will change and transform us into that same image. That's where the Spirit of God, right, can have room to begin to work within our lives. Let me show something else about this before I come to conclude here, right? And this change, this beholding is simply sitting down and having time where you sit down and you are looking at the evidence, all right? A person is believing for healing, you are confessing it, but you are looking at the evidence. You look at Jesus as he walked down, all right, Jericho there. You look at how the Bible says he healed all of every manner of sickness and disease. You behold that, no exemption. You follow Jesus. You are looking at the evidence there, all right? As you are looking at that evidence of Jesus doing that, you look at the evidence in his word when he says that you will be fruitful and you will break forth on the left and on the right. And as you are looking at that evidence, the Spirit of God starts ministering the glory in the scriptures, and that's where he begins to change. You know, one day, I've said this a couple of times, I went to Reverend Amiko to talk to him about Wafek. He said, as I started the conversation, that this is what the meeting, he said, I get what you want to do. He said, hold it. He said, there are two streams that have flown into this country of Christianity there. He said, there is one that prays. And prays that power and looks on the outside and checks for improvement and prays. And then they will pray and they will do that and check to see whether God. He said the second one, they pray. And after they finish praying, they know the answer is in the word. They sit down with that word and they begin to look at that word. And as they're looking at that word, what they are seeing inside that word starts appearing in their life. They sit with the word, all right? And as they behold, whatever you see in that scripture starts popping up, all right? And I want to show something here, that the lowest level of our faith work is when we hear from God. That's the lowest level. That's why he says, do not be hearers only. That's the beginning. Hearers only, which means you can just be a hearer, where he said, come. He said, but be ye doers of the word. For he says, a man who is a doer is like a man that beholds himself. And he looks into the perfect and he continues, which means he moves from hearing to looking Are you following what I'm saying here? He's saying it, but what he's doing is that he's looking into the perfect law of liberty. I'll show you. John said, that which we have heard, which our eyes have seen, which we have looked upon, which means the lowest level is when you hear it. All right, you might hear revelation, get it, but you have not looked at that thing. You have not beheld. To look at it is to focus on it and not to be distracted by anything. You are looking at that evidence. Let me show you something quickly here. All right, that's why Job said, I moved from the lowest level to the higher level. He said, God, I get it. I heard of thee with the hearing of my ear, but now with my eyes, I see you. Which means when you start seeing, changes begin to occur. The Spirit of God inside and only begin to administer that power. The same power Jesus administered to that woman. She said the right thing, but she had to have a point of contact where the power was administered into her body. We might be making a confession, but there has to be a point where the Spirit administers. And I will show this, that power. And it's when we start looking and beholding the evidence there that the transformation. And anytime we look, all right, the problem is that it's pride. We feel like, not that scripture, you know, we quote it from the head. Well, it departs from our eyes. If we keep looking at the word of God and keep looking at the word of God, things will begin to happen. Now, quickly, let's look at this. John chapter 3. Then I'll come back to the place I'm closing. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 here. And so this is what he told me. After I made the confession, he said, you know what you do? Make the confession. Now, you have the portion of scriptures. You know the scriptures. That said, you've known the scriptures there, that show you that I'm committed to doing this. He says, so after you make the confession there, you pray, you make your confession, open those scriptures. Every day, read the same scriptures, read them. Every day. So I will open to those scriptures, start looking at the scriptures. Let me tell you, I started seeing things I've never seen in those scriptures, because the light is one that shineth brighter and brighter. All right, that's where the divine distinction comes, is what you see, is what you see. God told Abraham, as far as your eye can see, as far as your eye can see, that's what is going to be transferred into your life. What you see is what is going to be transferred. He says the prophet desired, angels desired to look, angels desired to see these things, because it's when you are looking at these things, there's a transference, right, of power, all right, and things begin to happen in your being. Now, look at John 3 here and verse 16. Now, we all know the scripture, but let's let that light shine brighter and brighter, okay? We all know it, okay? We can quote that. That's the scripture. For God so loved the world, you can quote that, all right? That he gave his only begotten son, all right? We have many John 3, 16 t-shirts, all right? That whosoever believeth on him should not do what? Perish, but have what? Eternal life. So, what happens to us in Christianity is this. Our first revelation is the only thing we hold on to. And we want to wrestle with the bigger things of life with the first revelation. And God help anybody to try to expand that revelation. He's a heretic. This is our problem here. But let's look at what this was all about. If you go to verse 13, it says, no man has ascended up to heaven. And that's a powerful scripture. Jesus said, no man has ascended. In other words, until Jesus died, no man went to heaven. So Abraham didn't go to heaven. Do you get what I'm saying? Jacob didn't go to heaven. He said nobody has been to heaven. Elijah, where he went, is not heaven. He wasn't very far from hell. You know that. Because the man in Hades could see them. You get what I'm saying? So no man had ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, only one person, the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, in other words, in like manner, for the same reasons, to the same intent, for the same purpose, must the Son of Man be lifted up in the same context, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is, God so loved this world that he gave his son to be lifted up upon the pole as Moses lifted up the serpent, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have eternal life. So let's look at how and why Moses lifted up the serpent. Numbers 21. And then you understand John 3:16. That is not just about getting born again. Because you say it's for the body. John 3:16. I'm preaching John 16. As though we don't need John 3:16 again. Now, Numbers 21 and verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses and said, wherefore have you brought us up into Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. So they said, we don't know what's going on here. And he sent fiery serpents. So what happens if people start complaining? So the minute you start complaining, the serpents come out. Start biting the companies. The companies start closing down. Are you following what I'm saying here? Start biting. Things start going wrong. All right? We are moving out because you are complaining. And once you start complaining, the serpents access. All right? Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. And said, pray to the Lord that he takes away this serpent. Change this change, Moses. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is the way you are going to do it. We are not doing that. Make a fiery serpent, set it upon the pole, and it shall come to pass that anybody that the dollar bites, if he looks at Jesus, will reverse. Do you understand what we're saying here? In other words, he is saying this, that God so loved the world, he has presented a solution. He will give you the evidence in scripture that 1,000 will fall on your left, 10,000 on your right, but it will not come near thee. That when others say there's a casting down, he will give you the evidence that there is a word lifting up in your life. So what happens is, you stop going to Facebook where you read all these complainers and angry people that are ranting there. You stop reading all these tweets that will change, that when you finish reading them and you are going out, say, what's the matter? I just read something. You understand this? You have begun to sink. You might be confessing in the morning. You read that thing, you begin to sink. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah? If the newspapers are affecting you, stop reading the newspapers. What you do is read only the evidence that God has given. Keep your eyes. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? On that evidence there. You can't confess God's word and look at something else. If the doctor said there is no hope, stop going there. They said there is no hope. Why are you going back to the doctor? He is only going to tell you why it won't work. Go and look for the evidence that is not seen. Go tell him, Father, make an offer by the Holy Ghost. And then he shows you that I am Jehovah Rapha. And he provides. If I saw an evidence on healing, that when he said I'm Jehovah Rapha, all those names are tied together. And what it means is that if it's not Jehovah Rapha, it can't be Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah means the Lord is present everywhere. Which means if you say God is present, then you must say he's the healer of human bodies. Are you following what I'm saying here? You go there and you check it. I mean, God showed me. All right? You check it. And then you look at the evidence. And you keep your eyes on the evidence. And as you keep your eyes there, it starts ministering. The word is ministering life to you. All right? So let's go back. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so what you do is that you sit down, you make your confession, then go to those scriptures. Sit down there. If it's 30 minutes, behold that word. Read through those scriptures. Go back to what you read yesterday. Reread it. Let me tell you, I can challenge you. Go to your notes. You read one, wrote 1 year ago. You wrote the notes and the revelation and the scripture. Go and read it when you get home. You will see things you didn't see before. That is, you look at it. What? And minister to God. And I knew this thing. You mean I wrote it? You mean I wrote it? Your eyes have departed. That revelation should have been growing. Your eyes have what? Departed. Look, it's not something new. Every time ministers attempted to preach something new, to show that we've heard from heaven, Hagin said, listen, you can only build solid people by repeating over and over and over what they know. Paul said, I will not be negligent, Peter, to put you in remembrance, though you know this truth and you are established in it. He said, I will give you the evidence because I'm going home to be with the Lord soon, so that you will have the evidence that you can constantly read it. All right? Bible says, take a more earnest heed, not to the things that you will hear, but to the things you have heard. He said, because, so that you don't neglect so great a salvation, which means in what you heard, there's a great salvation there. Go and look at it. Take the scriptures, reread the scriptures. Take the scriptures, reread the scriptures. It begins to minister life. Right? 2 Corinthians. This is what happened. 2 Corinthians here and chapter 4. Close this here. You'll see this here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It tells us here, verse 6, for God who commanded, and I'm telling you, this is what you do. You have your confession. I have your number. I've been there. You have your confession going, but you are not constantly beholding. The eye contact with those scriptures, you don't think it's necessary. And that's the only way the Spirit transfers the power. Eye contact. Eye contact. Eye contact. It says here that God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. This is the treasure. That the excellence of the power might be seen to be of God and not of us. So we are troubled. So all this distraction starts on the outside for us to put our eyes on these things. Then it tells us in verse 12, So then death worketh in us, but life in you. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. So we speak, all right, knowing that the Spirit will, but how does the Spirit actually raise after we speak? Which means we say these things, but how does the Spirit perform the task? It says in verse 17, but our light affliction. You know what that light affliction is? Holding fast to our confession in the face of opposition. That affliction, right, worketh for us. And it's in an eternal weight of glory while we look. Which means it will work while we are looking. While it is only going on. While means it is going on, all right? This sets the time. While we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are not seen, the evidence God has given. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are what? Eternal. So we are looking at that evidence. Very powerful thing, right? So structure your day. As we're going into this new year, yeah. Structure your day. It's only Pentecostals that don't have organized prayer life. Every other person. Lent it. Judaism has it. It's only Pentecost. The early church had it. The Bible says, read the early church. They will talk about in the third hour. They had the times where they prayed. We've talked about this before. We'll talk about it again. Watches. That's what they were called. Set times that they will go and pray. Right? If you say, well, I pray as I'm led by the Spirit and moved by the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, you don't have a prayer life. There's no need to do that. You don't have a prayer life. So as the Holy Ghost moves you, you know, listen, you don't have a prayer life. All right, Pastor just told us, anybody that does that doesn't have a prayer life. I agree with him. Those who pray have a time where they pray and where they pray. Jesus, as his custom was, it was his custom. You don't know more than Jesus now. His custom. He had the time he prayed, where he prayed. All right? Okay? You will know. I heard a minister, two brothers, and one of them was saying, I remember when we were young, we would run to the sitting room because that's where we like praying. People have places where they pray at the time. So one will wake up before the other one and quickly run because whoever is there is the one that starts the prayer. You can't come there. So have the time where they pray. All right? When they pray there. You know, that's the way it happens. Look, if God was disorganized, God was just this flow, you know, we just say it's a flow, you know, the wind that blew it. If it was flowing with us, then there will be no seasons. Then the sun won't rise at a time and then once we get up there, as we go out, it becomes dark. Then you put on your headlight and by the time you turn the corner, it becomes light. Then there will be nothing like winter is here, summer is here, nothing like that. Today in Nigeria, the winter starts. As you come out like this, it's very cold. You run back inside. By the time you sit down, it's hot. You say, what's going on? You dress up in the morning, winter clothes. By the time you get to the office, it's Sahara. What happened? You will say, what type of God? What is this? This is Trump. But this is what we say God is. Like it's just one, you know, just flowing. You know, right? Anything. Anytime we want to structure, people say, no. Look, you can't get any results without structure. All right? You structure the thing. You tell yourself, I'm going to, then three times or twice a day in the morning, I will keep my eyes on these scriptures. I will sit down with them the first thing in the morning and behold the evidence of what God is doing in my business. Look at what he's doing in my mind. Take my eyes off all of that and keep my eyes. That's the discipline. At night, I will look at those scriptures. Let those scriptures minister to me. Let the Holy Spirit add more scriptures and give me more evidence and minister to me. Look at what happened to Abraham. Look, Abraham had changed his name for 25 years. from Abraham to Abraham, which means he was calling those things and his confession was going. But look at what Abraham said in Genesis chapter 15. He said, after these things, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, I am thy shield. Look at what Abraham said. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? You see what he said? Seeing I go childless. And Abraham said, behold, thou hast given no seed. And God brought him forth. When he said, saying, seeing, in verse 5, brought him forth abroad and said, look towards the heavens. Tell the stars, are you able to number them? And he said, no, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed God. When they changed his vision, he changed something in his heart. When you change, and that's what Abraham told Jacob. He said, Jacob, you know how this body, I want to give you the secret of how Isaac was born. He told Isaac, Isaac told Jacob. He said, you know what? When I was 100 years old, I kept my eyes on the evidence that God provided, and my physical body meant nothing after some time. And what I was looking at, the Spirit of God produced. Jacob told Isaac, I got it now. So when he went into Laban's house, he took the animals. If I can make you look at something, right? You will not produce according to your DNA. You will produce according to what you are seeing. That is the law that has flown as the law of the blessing. That where the Spirit of the Lord is and he's walking is because people are looking at the evidence. Do you understand this? Why do you think Paul prayed in Ephesians? He said, after I heard of your faith and your love, I cease not to give thanks and to pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. That is, what you are confessing, start seeing that thing. If you start looking upon that thing, the Spirit starts transforming you to that image. If you look at the other thing, you sink. And the law is that where this condition is fulfilled, in fact, I wrote something F.F. Butler said. Let me just read it here. Very powerful. There is only one thing you must look at. That's why Jesus said, let thy eye be single. If your eye is single, the light of the body, the light of a person, the progress of a person is in his eyes. If your eye is single, your whole body shall be full of light. Right? We are to keep our eyes on the word and be affected by that which our eyes are seeing. To be occupied by what we see naturally so that it affects our mood is to reverse the condition God lays down for us to follow. We have reversed it. Right? Keep your eyes there. I went to speak to the youth platform 2025, and I told them the secret to progress here, and I read this from an elderly Methodist preacher. He said, you succeed, and this is a law of life, never forget this, you succeed by confining your attention and employing your energies about the business that you take at hand. Were you to pause to scan the countenance and the attire of every passerby, or to step to the window whenever any unusual sound might chance be heard in the street, or to pause to give audience to every gossip of the town that might stroll upon your premises, your affairs must speedily fall into confusion and you will fall behind the pack. It is by shutting our eyes and ears to matters not pertinent to which we are employed, and so pursuing our work with systematic and undistracted diligence, that we make progress in matters of handicraft and in things that are spiritual. So take your attention of everything. Keep your eyes on it only. Keep looking at the evidence. Anything that will discourage you, take your eyes off it. All right? Let me tell you this. This is a gift of faith in operation, but the president of my fellowship, I remember when I got born again, one day told me a story. Said he was going from Lagos to Ibadan. He miscalculated on the fuel. He said, halfway through the thin session, red light, your fuel is about to finish. He said he was confessing the word of God, but the red light was popping. He said, so the red light was affecting him. So he took a piece of cloth and covered the red light. And then he kept confessing until he got to Lagos. He said, as he packed, the thing stopped. Are you following what I'm saying here? If you are looking at the negative thing and confessing, that thing will affect and deflate your faith. You confess and keep your eyes. All right? F.F. Butler put it this way. He said, if you put a girdle, back then it stood about the stem of a tree that you know has climbed that tree. Once you look at that tree, you say this tree is dead, even though it's still alive. All right? He said in that same way, when you lock your faith on something, even though the symptoms of that thing and everything is showing, you know that this matter is a dead matter because you've locked. With your confession and your sight, you've locked that particular thing and it has to come to pass within your life. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. By the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth, Lord, and in all righteousness, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening.